I have had a really fucking bad OCD day. Come hither, microphone. Come here, queer. Hopefully you don't find queer to be a slur. I mean, what's the point of reclaiming any fucking thing? Otherwise, I will go on a tangent if I follow that thought. As I was saying, today has been a not good OCD day. I am eating a popsicle. Pomegranate. So, as I do, I have been internalizing and trying to figure out exactly what the fuck is going on in my head today. Part of how I do that is a combination of digging into psychology as well as astrology, and I don't really give a fuck how that may sound to you. You don't have to, by any means, quote-unquote, believe in astrology at all. I have no interest in convincing anyone. I'm using this to quantify my own fucking reality. Some people use religion. I use tangible objects in the universe. Chaos theory's right. Even the inconsequential has meaning. And yet at the same time, everything is meaningless. Contradictory things can both be true. So, this awful, awful OCD day has, as usual, led to hours and hours of research and working to figure out what the fuck, and how the fuck to fix it. I've been poking around at my natal chart. Let's give you a teensy rundown of it. I have the Sun, Mars, Pluto, Proserpine, and Persephone, all in Scorpio, all in a fairly loose, admittedly, conjunction. Persephone at 11 degrees Scorpio, my Sun at 29, which is very, very, very wide, I realize. And I wouldn't consider it exactly beneficial. I mean, in a long-term context, I am absolutely certain that it can be. However, Mars and Pluto are combust my Sun, and Proserpine and Persephone are both combust Pluto. By extension, Pluto and Proserpine are both also combust Mars. A combustion is a difficult amalgamation of force. It's something difficult to control. And that three-way conjunction between the Sun, Mars, and Pluto, with Mars and Pluto both in Scorpio, as they both rule Scorpio, and not to mention in the eighth house of Scorpio, where Scorpio is the most fucking comfortable with itself. These with the Sun are foundational points of my identity. All three of these oppose the Moon, my emotional center, in the second house, which is of physical objects, the tangible material items, all of that kind of thing. It's also stability. The Sun-Mars-Pluto conjunction is a foundational point of an aspect pattern called Thor's Hammer, also known as a black kite. This is a minor aspect pattern for me. Some people have it as a major aspect pattern. The difference between the two is one is easier for the person to become aware of. That's the major aspect pattern. That's with trines and sextiles, along with an opposition and one square. Because mine is a minor aspect pattern of sesiquadrates, semi-sextiles, semi-squares, an opposition, and a square, mine's a bit more difficult to wrangle. Because it's a bit more difficult for me to be and remain cognizant of it. I do my best, but it's a difficult force of energy to wrangle.
My popsicle's melting. Shit.
Anyhow. On the cusp of my midheaven, which is where the 10th house begins, I have a conjunction between the North Node and Uranus. The North Node is your trajectory in life, or your most positive trajectory in life. That it is conjunct Uranus.
Oh.
No fucking wonder I'm chaotic. I mean, I knew that from the beginning, and no fucking wonder I seem chaotic to everybody. It's because I am. Not gonna lie about that. Funny thing is, along with the Thor's hammer aspect pattern, Loki comes into play. Also with the Astorid Loki at... Oh, I need to look that up again. Shit. Oh, I'll find it. There's a limited number of Astorids you can have on any given natal chart on this website. I mean, of course there is. It would be nice to be able to search everything, but... Okay, darling. There you go. Where's that bastard? Oh, 28 degrees of Sagittarius. So, loose conjunction to Mercury. Conjunctions to planets like Mercury need to be particularly tight in order to express themselves well. Oh, that's funny. I have Loki in conjunct the moon, which essentially means that my feelings don't exactly see my trickster nature, I suppose. And since this is in the ninth house of Sagittarius, no wonder everybody else sees it. It's also very, very close to the 10th house. Eat your popsicle, damn it. Ow. And since it's in the sign of Sagittarius, Jupiter comes into play, seeing as Jupiter rules Sagittarius. Now I have Jupiter in Virgo, and Jupiter square to Mercury, which is very near Loki. Mercury trine the ascendant. Loki doesn't aspect the ascendant. This wasn't my point in any fucking way, exactly. Brain, stop fucking with me. Ow. Anywho, I also have the asteroid Chaos in the first house, which, yeah, makes sense. Not to mention the mean apogee of the moon. Black Moon Lilith, 23 degrees of Capricorn, conjunct Eros, which, if you know your mythology, Eros, or your etymology, part of the source of the word for erotic, is... derived from the god Eros. And with the two so closely conjunct, like, they're less than a degree apart. They're manifestation is fused. And in the 10th house, that's very, very public, easy to see. Not to mention my elevated Neptune, it's... I am a prime source for projection. Your most elevated planet is the planet closest to your midheaven, but not behind the 10th house. Everything has to be in front of the 10th house, meaning either in the 10th, 11th, or 12th house. Although it really can be anywhere in the left portion of your chart to count. My Neptune is right next to my midheaven, which is in Capricorn. And with Lilith and Eros both in Capricorn, of course, control and domination are prominent aspects of my sexuality. Oh, not to mention, where did that chart go? I fucking love these. They're the, I don't remember the brand, but Outshine fucking fruit popsicles. I fucking love them. There we go. Oh, I forgot. I also have Lug conjunct Lilith, which Celtic sun god. Sort of a variant of Apollo. So that is also fused with Eros and Black Moon Lilith. Which is fascinating to me, seeing as Saturn and Pluto are currently, and Jupiter, transiting this portion of my natal chart, which means these are the aspects of me particularly prominent right now. And in the 10th house, that 100% has to do with the internet. I mean, it's also a 9th house Uranus thing. However, with as mass and widespread as social media has become, technically the internet is a public place. It's not private. It's accessible by anybody with the right link. And these are exactly the themes I'm exploring here. The Lilith themes, figuring out my Jupiter. Popsicle. It's melting. Okay. No more popsicle. That makes me kind of sad. But it's alright. Alrighty. I'm chewing on the popsicle stick because I'm a puppy, I guess. I don't know, I need to chew. Actually, I really don't because TMJ, but... I really shouldn't be chewing. Okay, let's do something good for me for once. Good job, self. Proud of you, bitch. Thanks. I have the asteroid Lust at 14 degrees of Sagittarius. Quite close to the cusp of my 9th house, which you may be familiar with or you may not. Cusps are only significant in terms of the houses. They mean nothing with the signs. You are either 0 degrees of the latter sign or you are 30 degrees of the former sign. There is no in between. Astrology is math. This is a system. Every single point on a chart has meaning. Everyone. You can certainly view astrology as imprecise. This is a gross oversimplification and a fundamental misunderstanding of astrology. It is mathematical. there is reason and logic to it. Back to my point. I have the asteroid Lust trine of my ascendant. How I seem at first meeting, and, well, sort of the basic personality. Also trine Chiron, which is the wounded healer. Your Chiron is essentially your Achilles heel, your greatest pain, as well as how to transmute it. Not exactly heal it 100%, because nothing really can be healed 100%. There is always going to be an impression of the injury. There's always going to be a scar. There's going to be some sort of damage, something tangible. Chiron is both the wound and how you care for it. And as... what the fuck am I babbling about? I'm very tired. I have not slept well in weeks, but that's not surprising at all for me. Just looking at my natal chart, I am essentially the dynamic between chaos and order. Finding that balance. Maintaining that balance. Never one or the other, always both in tandem. My Venus, in particular, is of interest to me at the moment. I have it conjunct the fixed star Algarab, which is the right wing of the raven, well, right wing of the crow. This gives significant charm, especially as it is in the constellation of Libra. In tropical astrology, technically it's Virgo. If you'd like to go with sidereal astrology, go right ahead. The universe is ever moving. Whichever form of classification you'd prefer to use. Okay. Cool. I hope it works for you. My two strongest planets are the Moon and Venus. Everything else in my chart is fairly debilitated, which is made a bit more challenging by my 8th house activity, especially with Mars and Pluto being in the 8th house, as both are malefic, which is not a good thing. However, harnessing the not good things are absolutely fucking required if you would like to heal them and make them work for you rather than against you. This is an integral part of self-mastery, which is what I want. And as I am going through my, well, not at the moment, it's not exactly a return until Saturn shifts back into Aquarius in December. Right now it's more the Lilith, Eros, Lug, Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter conjunction that's giving me grief, but the grief itself is a lesson. This is me attempting to extrapolate what that lesson is, quantify it, and figure out how to apply it to everything I'm doing, especially what I'm doing here, because for me this is about healing. And I'm not really sure why I am willing to expose these nerves to whoever the fuck may decide to click on this and listen. I really don't. I think I'm hoping someone may understand, and even if they don't, that somehow, somewhere in this mess, there is some lesson that someone can glean from it to better their own life. Because really, that's all I'm doing here, and that is all I want. My observations, I know, are very abstract and fairly nonsensical, or can seem to be when you do not have the context of what's already in my brain. And I don't know how to translate that into something easily explainable. I have no fucking clue, really. So I'm starting with the difficult things in the hopes of figuring out how to best explain what may end up being more accessible for others. The best way to get into astrology is to dig into your own chart, I feel. Because it's all you really have any influence over yourself, where you go, what you do. Whether you heal or not, whether you endeavor to heal or not. And this can help you on your way to healing. It can help you formulate a plan. Can tell you what to avoid, what to focus on, what to change, and what to cut away entirely. I don't know how to translate what's in my head into something verbal that has a chance of making sense to someone who is not already familiar with astrology and the concepts I am entwined with. Or maybe I just need to do something fucking selfish and gratuitous. I don't know. Saturn and Pluto are both malefics, that these are over essentially the wild, untamed feminine combined with the revolution of Luke and the inherent eroticism and passion of Eros. That's a hell of a lot to have active at once. I mean, Saturn and Pluto are difficult planets. Even when they're not together, either individually is going to be difficult to handle. Both at the same fucking time is brutal. Ow, chest pain, ow, okay, ow. Calm down. Calm the fuck down. Ow. The tangible effect that this has on my health. Maybe I should find something else to fixate on, but the way out is through. I can endure pain. That's not really a problem. Especially when that pain is a lesson. I'm going to fucking figure it out. This is a goddamn puzzle. That's all. That's not exactly true. It's not only a puzzle. This is my fucking psyche. Which is kind of funny, seeing as I have Jupiter and Vesta also conjunct psyche. Vesta being divine sexuality, Jupiter being the planet of expansion, and Psyche being rather Perseverian. Where did that tab go? Here it is. Let me read it from Luan.com. Psyche is the Greek word for soul, and Psyche is the place in your chart that can detail for you where you can find your entrance into yourself. Divine sexuality, Jupiterian expansion. Psyche also represents psychology and is involved in the discipline of study of the mind. Psyche encompasses the soul, the mind, and the self. The ancient Greek mythological saga of Psyche has formed the basis of numerous fairy tales and folk stories, including that of Beauty and the Beast and the Knight and the Loathly Damsel. The elements of Psyche's life are trust, love, passion, betrayal, and jealousy. Beyond that, we can learn from Psyche the uncovering of who we are, why we act as we do, and what love means to us. Psyche's story is filled with archetypes, as are all mythological tales. Fathers who are cruel or neglectful or overindulgent, foolish and devoted, jealous women, as in mothers, stepmothers or sisters, and of course the lover, The lover may be disguised, so the fair maiden cannot see his face or guess his identity. He can be cruel or he can be kind. He can be a demon or a god. His being and persona changes in each story and in each version of the story. The end of the tale is always the same, since the ultimate end of the heroine's story is her final understanding of herself. It is the final acceptance of her totality of being, which includes her mind, body, and spirit. Psyche involves the ultimate acknowledgement that the soul can be granted immortality through its ability to love. As the myth relates to us, Psyche was a very beautiful girl who was the youngest of three sisters. Psyche was so beautiful that she was treated as a statue or idol to be gazed at. The ancient Greeks began to ignore the temple of Aphrodite, the Greek counterpart of the Roman goddess Venus, and started to worship Psyche instead of Aphrodite. Aphrodite became jealous and asked her son Eros to magically induce Psyche to fall in love with the lowest and most horrible man on earth he could find. Instead, Eros himself fell in love with Psyche and had the Zephyr, the West Wind, blow her up to a beautiful palace in the mountains. Once there, Eros appeared under a cloak of darkness and told Psyche that she could never look at his face, but that he would visit her nightly as her husband. Sound like Phantom? During the day, Psyche had free rein to live in the palace and roam the beautiful grounds it was on. Also, does this not remind you of something quite similar to Hades and Persephone? I know. They are in the same myth, however, but the parallel is noteworthy. After a while, Psyche missed her older sisters and asked her mysterious nighttime lover/husband to let them visit her. Eros finally agreed, and Psyche's sisters saw how much material wealth she had. Her sisters became jealous and convinced Psyche that she was really married to a snake or some other horrible monster. They urged her to look at the man-monster she slept with at night for her own safety. Psyche waited until Eros was asleep and then uncovered him. Once she did, his identity and his beauty was discovered by Psyche, and he woke up and fled from her. She then realized she'd been with Eros, the god of love, all the time. Psyche then went to Aphrodite to ask for a chance to be reunited with her soulmate. Jealous Aphrodite, Eros' mother, set out a series of arduous tasks for Psyche to fulfill before she would agree to follow Eros to see Psyche again. Helped by some of the Olympian gods and goddesses who were sympathetic to her plight, Psyche ultimately passed each test, one of which involved Psyche's descent into the depths of Hades, the underworld, to see Persephone, the queen of the dead. Psyche ultimately won Eros back, married him, and was granted immortality and became a goddess in her own right. Psyche's story is, in essence, every woman's story. Psyche's tale begins when she is in early womanhood and brings her to an uncharted place, where she is not sure of anyone or anything. She is then forced to deal with the world and surmount many difficult obstacles before she, the embodiment of the soul and mind, is able to merge with her other half, her animus, or her male lover. Once she achieves that goal, she achieves a true integration of herself, becomes a goddess, and achieves immortality. Astrologically, how does this apply to you? Psyche can tell us a lot about ourselves in our own journey, but it may take us some time and thought before we become aware of what Psyche symbolically wants to say to us. Delving into our innermost depths can take some time and reflection. Now, with where Psyche is in my chart, I have Psyche conjunct Jupiter and Vesta. Jupiter is a very prominent planet in anyone's natal chart, really. And in mine, I have my Jupiter parallel my ascendant, which functions similarly to a conjunction. So Jupiter is functionally somewhat similar. It's easy for others to see my Jupiter, and especially as it's in the fifth house, technically the cusp of the fifth and the sixth, with the equal based on the midheaven house division. Tropical astrology. I'm sleepy. Anywho, I also have Venus parallel Pluto, so functionally they are quite similar as well. And with Pluto being conjunct my sun, this is also a foundational part of my ego, which I'm not entirely sure how to interpret that. Maybe it's the external perception that I get off on being a weird, dark, obsessed with the shadow and revolting side of pretty much everything. Obsessed with what is beneath the surface, obsessed with depth and meaning. It's difficult for others to interpret the eighth house as a personal house, because it tends not to be personal for most people, and that's not at all a bad thing. I am very simply, inexorably tied with this house, and I cannot pull myself away from it. This is part of me, and this has all been leading me to, let me close these. How many tabs? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Technically, I had 17 tabs open, but 16 of them could be closed. Okay. I've been researching things I already know for the most part, just to ensure that my knowledge is as thorough as possible. I'm very, very much an obsessive research kind of person. I can't really help it. I want to know every fucking thing about what I'm curious about, so it's what I do in my spare time for fun. And often not in my spare time because I'm so easily distracted by whatever my brain decides to fixate on. Anyhow, I found a very, very, very abstract, not exactly breakdown, because it really isn't a breakdown. It's phrases and terms that are specific to the Eighth House, under the dominion of the Eighth House. Concepts and actions that are integral to the Eighth House, and as I have so much fucking activity in my Eighth House, one of the easiest parts of a person to see that I have this in the Eighth House really fucks with my ability to communicate and connect with others. I mean, elevated Neptune doesn't fucking help at all, and neither does the opposition to the fucking moon. Or the fucking Sagittarius Mercury. God. Any fucking how. Mega astrology brainstormed the Eighth House and things in the Eighth House. Let's go. 2 hours left at the office. Clear your desk. Put your cup in the trash. Nothing left to do. Too late to start something new. Killing time. Stop giving me busy work. If you think it's so important, you do it. How much of my time do I owe you exactly? When are we going to be even? When is enough enough? Just a quick peek at Twitter on the work computer. Who's watching? Is someone keeping tabs? Quick look over your shoulder. I'm not paranoid. Cover the camera lens just to be sure. Clear your browser history. Ducking out early. Too late for lunch. Too early for dinner. Late afternoon. Happy hour. Idle hours. Warm sun glow before sunset. Margarita time. Sitting in the back corner. People watching. People listening. Eavesdropping. Oh shit, I thought your name. Now there you are. Fuck. Quick, run to the bathroom. Elimination. I can't go. I'm backed up. My emotions are backed up. I need someone to talk to. Nice shoes. He has money. Nice dreads. How's the trust fund holding up? Sizing people up. What can you tell without being told? Read the room, bro. Observation. Just because you noticed something doesn't mean it's true. Gathering evidence. Whispers and murmurs backed by evidence. The evidence suggests otherwise. Cynicism. That's suspicious. A little detective work on the side. I'm going to look that up when I get home. Do a little research. Snooping. Getting into other people's business. Sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. Blackmail. Morbid curiosity. Idle curiosity. My, look what I've found. Well, looky what we have here. Crepe. Forensics. Mind your own business. The interrogation room is this way. She did it for the money. Let's see how this all unfolds. Private information. Privileged information. Confidential. Information that is deeply satisfying. Getting to the bottom of things. Solving a mystery. Hey, can I tell you something? I've never told anyone this before. Something has been weighing on me. Why don't you tell us what happened? There's something I need to get off my chest. You can confide in me. You can trust me. Confess. I feel so much better now that I told you. What a relief. You got me feeling emotions deeper than I ever dreamed of. Does the way we're talking mean you're interested in me? Does interest in someone equal sexual attraction? Sexual attraction does not equal love. Eighth house square the fifth house. Just because she gets you does not mean she loves you. The eighth house square the fifth. Just because they want to fuck you does not mean they like you. The eighth square the 11th. I listen to you. Don't you owe me something? The eighth house opposite the second house. Sex. Your gender. Your privates. Your actual genitalia and how you feel about them. What is your sexual identity? How do you feel about your sexual identity? Do you value your sexuality? Do you value your sexual energy? Are you going to put out? Slut. Tantra. Do you feel me? How much? How much would it cost? What's your price? Everybody has a price. Everyone can be bought. Scumbag. Prostitution. Ah, baby, I got your money. Don't you worry. She's used goods. It's just sex. I'm already damaged goods. What difference does it make? Sexual self-esteem. Sexual self-respect. Are you good in bed? Do you have sexual skills? Does anybody want what you have? What are we going to be sharing exactly? Better use a condom. STDs. Feeling relaxed. Feeling at ease. Releasing. Release. Oops. Pardon me. Give it up. Shh. Don't tell anyone. Top secret information. Everybody poops. Sexual self-control. Celibacy. I can't get no satisfaction. Masturbation. Sexual tension. Building and building. Releasing. Release. Orgasm. La petite mort. A little death. Ecstasy. Afterglow and a cigarette. Insane. My interest in you makes me interesting to you. I'm interested in you because you're interested in me. Mutual interest. Interest rates. Rate of exchange. Energy exchange. Energy regulations. Reiki. I accept your energy. I take care with your personal boundaries. Energy shield. We respect each other. I let my desires transform me. Do you respect me? Does what matters to me matter to you? Taking a deeper interest in other people, what they want, and what matters to them. Losing interest in life. The fifth house of joy, square the eighth house of death. Suicidal feelings. Don't you dare try to tell me how I feel. Eros versus Thanatos. The desire for life versus the desire for death. I don't want to be here anymore. Digging deeper to find reasons to be here. You're here for a reason. Beyond life. Beyond death. Beyond sex. Giving yourself permission to be truly invested and interested in what you're interested in. Your reason for being here. What is the mystery you're trying to solve? Who gives a shit? Can this be over already? I think I'm done here. What the fuck am I doing here anyway? I don't have to deal with this crap. I can leave any time. I have a choice. It's not like anything I do matters anyway. If I can't have what I really want, what am I even doing here? What difference does it make? I give up. I'm out. Peace. Don't you want to see how it ends? Everyone loves a good mystery. I'll go make some popcorn. BRB. Let jealousy be your guide. Hey, jealousy. Jealousy as an indicator of life's desires. Jealousy as the indicator of what you really, really want that you don't have. That burning, angry, seething feeling that is threatening to tear you apart. Say hello to my little friend, Jealousy. Hey, she's talking to you. She's trying to tell you something. Listen. Like your life depended on it. This old thing? Oh, I only wear it when I don't care how I look. That little bitch. Get what you want without taking it from others. I want what you have. I want that. I want you. I want you. The right way. I want you. But I want you to want me too. Where do our desires meet? How can we please each other? Please, please me. Sexual healing. I want him to stop bothering me. I want her to leave me alone. Keep your hands to yourself. Take your hands off me. Stop sneaking into my phone. Don't read my diary. You don't own me. You can't know all there is to know about me when I don't even know it myself. I am infinite. You are infinite. Don't let people put you in their stupid little boxes. Life after death. Life after life. Infinity. Eight. Infinity. 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 That it literally says that, so I'm trying. I stop trying to make claims on me. No, you weren't here first. I wasn't either. Quit stalking me. Quit staring. Take a picture, why don't ya? It'll last longer. Obsession. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. Addiction. Pornography. I've got you under my thumb. I've got you under my skin. I'm begging you for mercy. You own nothing. You can't take it with you. Quick spoiler alert. Everybody dies in the end. What will you owe the ferryman? Trips to the other side. Giving credit where credit is due. What can you actually take credit for? Stop trying to take credit for my work. Getting credit for your work. The 8th house sextile, the 6th and 10th. Gratitude. I'm grateful for all the ways you've helped me. I'm grateful for all your support. I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you. Giving and receiving compliments with sincerity. I'm going to leave you some money in my will. Estate planning. Funeral arrangements. When I die, who will profit? Insurance. Wills. Inheritance. Taxes. Debt. Investments. Loans. Wealth management. What's your credit score? Are you credit worthy? Who will invest in you? Are you the genuine fake? Fraud. Bankruptcy. Who's supporting you? Alimony. Who's going to bail you out? Financial aid. Sponsorships. Fundraising. Patrons. Child support, unemployment benefits, pension, social security. What will you pass on? What will your legacy be? What comes next? A willingness to discuss taboo subjects. Mom, who is going to get the house when you die? Who will take care of the children if something happens to us? Who's going to get your stuff? Let's talk about death, baby. I plan to die in my sleep when I'm 90. What about you? Deathcafe.com. The stuff that makes everybody uncomfortable. Can we change the subject? If you talk about it, it will happen. The power of suggestion. Hypnosis. Oh, shush. You shouldn't talk about things like that. That's not nice. Putting off the inevitable. Shit. There you are again. Looking busy on my phone. Buying time. Stalling for time. The idle place. The devil's advocate. The 8th house semi-sextile, the 7th. God's right hand. The 8th house semi-sextile, the 9th house. Having an angel and a devil on each shoulder. What would you give to have everything you desire, would you sell your soul? Asking for a friend. Let's change the subject. Treating other people's things as if they were your own. Respecting people's property. Cleaning up after yourself. Clean up your mess, and I don't mean your dirty laundry. Or maybe I do. Energetic debris field. Work with yourself. Work through your issues. Emotional responsibility. Emotional accountability. Ouch. So painful. Gaining power by working through your emotions. Gaining insight by working with yourself. The emotional work you need to do that you're avoiding. Gaining depth. Developing your own material. Transforming, even if your old self becomes a source of embarrassment. Allowing yourself to change. Transformation. Crapsformation. She is so full of crap. People don't change. Whatever. We'll see who's full of crap when the body releases at death. Transformers, more than meets the eye. The eye, the all-seeing eye. Give it to me. An eye for an eye. The ability to recognize other people's gifts. Talent scout. Talent agent. Perceptive. Confidence man. Taking advantage of people. The place of bad spirit. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? Who, me? Why? I'm not a witch at all. Hey, baby, will you read this over and let me know what you think? Is this too much? Sun in the eighth house. You are the taboo. You are the thing that no one wants to talk about. And I have that. The rest of the planets, sans the moon, don't have any brainstormy bits. For the moon in the eighth house, your mother was taboo. No one wants to talk about your mom.